Heroes of Civilization, presented by Dr. Norvé de Maurier.
About the year 1865, at the University of Göttingen in Germany, Robert Koch, a rather small, serious, and near-sighted young German, was studying to be a doctor. There was, perhaps, not a more conscientious student in the university than this young man. But while he dissected dead bodies and memorized the countless names pertaining to anatomy, his mind was very often miles away from his work. He longed to be a hunter of big game in jungle forests. And if he could not be that, his next ambition was to be a military doctor and win, perhaps, the Iron Cross on the battlefield. Let us first meet this man who was destined to become one of the greatest benefactors of mankind at an advanced field hospital behind the German lines at the Battle of Sedan in October 1870, towards the conclusion of the Franco-Prussian War.
Any further orders, Dr. Koch?
Not at the moment, Muller. Do the best you can to see that those anthrax and tetanus cases are disturbed as little as possible.
Sir, one of the walking wounded in Division 3.
Oh, you do what you can. Pass them on to the rear. Yes, Herr Lieutenant?
Franz Simler, 104th Horse Artillery, at your service, Herr Doctor.
Yes?
My commander wishes you to evacuate this position so that he may use the ridge for our guns.
Well, please inform your commander that such action is impossible, Herr Lieutenant. We have several tetanus cases. Far too bad to be moved.
My orders are that you must evacuate, Herr Doctor.
And my last word is that it is impossible, Herr Lieutenant.
But the French are retiring. Our batteries require this position for strategic purposes.
And we require it for humanitarian purposes. Tell your commander there is a higher ridge to the north of here, a little closer to the enemy.
Sir, I resent your inference.
And I resent your presence here. You are simply occupying my time. I have not the least intention of evacuating, and you have no power to compel me.
Very well. Herr Doctor, this shall be taken further. Good day.
Good day, Herr Lieutenant.
You report this to General Staff, sir. You're a civilian medical officer. It may go hard with you.
With the French beaten, the General Staff will not worry much about the dispute between a colonel of artillery and a medical officer, Miller.
I hope you're right, sir.
In any case, I refuse to interrupt our war against disease and injury for any colonel ever born. He fights other soldiers, and win or lose, nobody really benefits. But you and I, together with thousands of other doctors, must fight forever for the lives of others. His war is limited. Ours must go on for all time.
You're quite right, sir.
Of course I'm right. Look at those tetanus cases, for instance. As soon as this war ends, I must go to war with that disease. Then there is cholera, plague, tuberculosis, all capable of killing both those warring armies. The colonel and his battery, he doesn't know what a real war is like.
Returning home after the peace of 1870, Koch set up general practice in Wallstein, East Prussia. One day, his wife gave him a microscope as a birthday present. With this, he worked continuously on bacteria of various types. Now we find Koch in his laboratory late one night in April 1876.
Robert, you make me regret having given you that microscope. I believe you think more of it than you do of me.
Ah, my dear, of course I don't. Tonight, after 6 years of work, I have what I want. I can now artificially cultivate the anthrax bacilli and detail its full life history in all stages.
How wonderful, Robert.
It's more than that, my dear. It's revolutionary. It will enable effective control of a great many infectious diseases. We will now be able to make properly standardized vaccines. There will be no more mistakes with them.
What will you do now, Robert? Will you announce your discovery?
Oh, I shall write to Professor Kern at Breslau and give him the news. He'll arrange a lecture for me before the faculty.
Oh, Robert, won't all those great professors be astonished to hear of this discovery from an unknown country doctor?
Yes, working with a microscope. A birthday present from his wife, eh?
When will you go to Breslau, Robert?
Oh, Kern will reply at once. He already knows of my progress and will arrange an immediate meeting. I may go next week.
My dear Weigart, who is this man Koch whom Kohn has brought us here to meet?
I know nothing of him, except from Kohn. He's a little country doctor from Wallstein, I believe. Perhaps you know of him, Professor Toralb.
No, gentlemen, I have never met him. But my wife tells me he was the fellow who wanted to turn an artillery barracks into a hospital at Sedan, or something like that. She knows all the military gossip. I forget this story.
So now he is to lecture to us members of the faculty of Breslau. Well, I'll give him a hearing for Cohn's sake.
By all means. One never knows what one may hear from these young fellows.
Oh, come in, Dr. Koch. Gentlemen of the faculty, permit me to present Dr. Robert Koch.
How do you do?
I am honored, gentlemen. Come now, Koch. Set up your microscope here and show the professors your anthrax bacillus slides.
Well, will you gather round, please, gentlemen?
Yes, yes, certainly.
Now, I have tabled my papers dealing with the life history of several bacilli. But if you will examine this particular slide, you will see the semi-dormant anthrax spore. This is how the germ manages to live and lie dormant for many years under certain conditions.
Let me see. Yes, you're right.
Excuse me. May I see? Yes, Dr. Koch, it is correct.
Ooh, I see.
These other specimens, gentlemen, trace the life history of anthrax and many other bacilli. It is now possible to cultivate bacteria in incubators under proper control. I consider we can do much with this discovery.
Undoubtedly.
Wonderful.
Congratulations, Dr. Koch.
Gentlemen, surely we've seen enough. This is the most complete discovery made in the field of bacteriology to date.
Yes, definitely. Yes,
I propose to this faculty that we approach the authorities to find Dr. Koch a position here in Breslau so that he may complete his work.
Yes,
Dr. Koch.
Yes.
The faculty of the University of Breslau advanced Koch in every way possible. Finally, the government voted him an income to place him beyond financial worry. This greatly annoyed many of the doctors and also met with the disfavor of the military classes who heartily disliked the civilian doctor. In 1880, we find a well-known society medico of Breslau in his club discussing Koch with Captain Klausmann, a cavalry officer.
Well, it is not for a military man to comment on government actions, Dr. Kurtz. But this Koch incident does show the fallacy of allowing civilians a say in politics.
Well, of course, Klausmann, a fellow like Koch creates a good official impression, and the authorities are inclined to support him, thinking his discoveries are likely to benefit the fatherland.
Well, he was no use in the army, and then he became a pipsqueak country doctor. And now he's getting more pay than an army colonel. The injustice of it makes my blood boil.
Oh, well, I think we've heard the last of him for a while. He's gone back to the country. From there he's going to East Africa.
Whatever for?
Oh, some wild goose chase. Something to do with tuberculosis in cattle. And then they whisper that he's going to Africa about sleeping sickness.
Looks like the old Roman custom of sending a troublesome man to the colonies. Apparently someone in the government has the sense to move him away out of the public eye.
Oh, possibly. Anyhow, I think we're rid of him. It will surprise me if we hear of him again for several years.
As far as I'm concerned, I hope we never hear from Robert Koch again.
Yes, and I agree with you heartily. We doctors never want to hear of Koch or his vaccines.
Gentlemen, this banquet to celebrate the award of the 1905 Nobel Prize to our colleague Robert Koch cannot be allowed to conclude without a word about his more recent works from our guest of honor. We are all scientists. We wish to hear from our friend Koch, the greatest German doctor of our time.
Mr. President and gentlemen, I thank you for your goodwill and the honor you are paying me this evening. But frankly, I do not seek honor or praise. For whatever I may have done, I will be paid 1,000-fold if you men of my own age realize that the diseases we wage war against are ageless. Therefore, the young man of science is our hope. Help the young men wherever you can. There is one branch, gentlemen, in which we must put forth increasing endeavor. I refer to the further development of my tuberculin serum. Please leave no stone unturned. until we have discovered a means to control tuberculosis, the white plague of mankind.